May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning we're continuing in our series from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter. And today Paul tells a congregation arguing about spiritual gifts, among other things. Remember, they're arguing about who has the most and who has the best gifts from God. Paul tells them that they can have all kinds of spiritual stuff or all kinds of spiritual abilities, but it doesn't get them anywhere unless they also have love. But you know, our reading should have started one sentence before it actually did, because there's a connecting sentence there. Just after Paul's teaching about the body of Christ, which we heard last week, and just before today's teaching about love, Paul writes this: "And now I will show you a still more excellent way." This is the proper introduction to all Paul says in this famous chapter about love. He wants the Corinthians to understand that love is more excellent than even the greatest spiritual gifts. And as we think about the theme of growing up in Christ this year, we take special note of the fact that Paul says to this church, "Now let's move on. Here is the more excellent way." And so Paul now begins to take the Corinthian church deeper, telling them that without love, even the best spiritual gifts that achieve the most impressive of feats, faith that can move mountains, for example, that without love, they are worthless. What do you think of that idea? I mean, really think about what Paul is claiming here. He's saying that even the best things we do are worthless if they are not done in love. Does that seem a little harsh or maybe even impractical? Surely a good deed is a good deed. If someone gives $10,000 to the local hospital, doesn't it do good, even if it's given with a bad attitude? Well, Paul says, all that we can do, all that we can offer, all of the gifts that we may have, without love, they're worth nothing. Why does Paul set love apart in this way? Why does he put it on such a pedestal? Well, according to our reading, one of the main reasons he seems to give is that love never ends. He contrasts love with all these other things that do end. Love keeps going when everything else stops. Spiritual gifts have value, but they are temporary measures, imperfect signs for an imperfect world. Mysteries, too, will end when answers are given. Prophecies outlive their usefulness when time wraps up and God calls human history to a halt. But love goes on into eternity. And you know, throughout the scriptures, there is a repeated teaching to invest in things that have lasting value. And so Paul instructs the Corinthians to pursue and prize love, because love lasts. There's also something, for lack of a better word, democratic about love. Not everyone is equally gifted. Not everyone has every spiritual gift. You may recall Paul's rhetorical questions from last week's reading. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And the implied answer in every case is no. Yet love is something every Christian can receive, give, and grow in. God loved the whole world. It is an equal opportunity gift. As Mother Teresa once said, love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. So love is eternal and love is available to everyone. But there's a third, probably more fundamental reason Paul emphasizes its importance to the church at Corinth. We've heard over the past two Sundays about some of the bad behavior of the people in that church, behavior that, because it was unloving, is simply unseemly for followers of Jesus. The Corinthians, some of them anyway, had money. They had social standing and prestige. They even had a new and lively church. But some of their behavior showed that they were short on love. And there is something gravely wrong with a loveless church. Every church knows this. and the world knows this too. There is nothing wrong with a Christian or a group of people that know it all and can explain it all, someone who is obviously talented and smart, but has no consideration for others. If love does not undergird everything else about us, both as individual Christians and as a community, no one will care what we have to offer. Remember in seminary, in one of the pastoral care courses, they emphasized that saying, you know, no one will care what you know until they know that you care. Love comes first. Another example of this comes from another biblical teaching, when we're told to speak the truth in love. Truth and love have to go together, because even truth loses its credibility and its beauty when it's spoken in a loveless way. And so Paul talks about love as the one necessary thing to Christian community. The church can get by without miracles. It can get by if nobody speaks in tongues, but it cannot get by without love. So for Paul, love is more important to the health of the church than any gift. Now, the other gifts are not bad. In fact, we are to look for and welcome any and all gifts God wants to give us for the common good. But you know, the church can get by with much less than we think we can. And the tragedy is when we get mixed up, thinking the non-essential things are essential, all the while ignoring the primacy of love. Well, so far, I think this is the least controversial sermon I've ever preached. No one's going to disagree with me that love is important. But there is a rub, and that is, how do we define love? What is Christian love? And we need to think about that, because love is probably the squishiest, most flexible, most slippery word in the English language. It's hard to define. Children are pretty good at it, though. An 8-year-old named Jessica said, "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget." Love means lots of different things to lots of different people. And sometimes we get it right, but sometimes we get it wrong. As Valentine's Day approaches, just watch how the word love is bandied around, sometimes meaningfully, but often crassly. And so we need to know what we're talking about when we consider what love is from a Christian point of view. Paul's words in our reading today give us a good start at defining what love is all about. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing but rejoices in the truth. That is a lovely list, and it's probably the reason this reading is so popular at weddings. But you know, as helpful as Paul's description is, we need to remember that it is not complete. And believe it or not, Paul did not write this missive to a bride and groom at Corinth. He wrote it to a whole church. And so Paul wrote with a specific purpose, and that means he said some things about love, but not everything about love. He chose aspects of love that spoke to the divisive issues and fights happening within the Corinthian church. They were envying one another's gifts, for example, and so Paul told them, love is not envious. They were boasting about how spiritual they were, so Paul said, love is not boastful, and so on. Certainly, Paul's words to the Corinthian church can apply to any community today, so I'm not saying they're irrelevant, but we do need to see that they are not complete. They are not the Bible's only word on love. Why is that important? Well, for one thing, this passage doesn't even mention God. And so we need to read Paul's ode to love alongside the whole biblical witness to love, which insists again and again that love comes from God, that we can only love because God loved us first, and that God is love. There's the definition. God is love. Paul says, and this is his key point from 1 Corinthians 13, love is the essential mark of Christian community. How will they know we are Christians? By our love, by the way we treat each other, by the way we both treasure love and freely give it away. Well, in a few moments, we will celebrate the Eucharist together. And as we receive the bread and wine today, we remember that we are receiving the love of God. Because the ultimate expression of love is Jesus' death on the cross. As it says in the book of Romans, God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And may we learn, as we grow up in Christ, more and more to love one another as he has loved us. Amen.